Hey, you're listening to the Church Planters Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Floro. Thank you for taking time to jump on and listen to today's episode as I interview Laura Berenger. Laura is an author and also a kindergarten school teacher, but she and her father, Scott McKnight, wrote a book that I think every single person in church leadership should read. It's called A Church Called Tove. And this is one of those really, really important books that help us to understand how we as the church, one, have harmed people in the way that we have dealt with abuse and other issues inside the church, but then also how do we create a culture that is a good culture that helps every single person that comes to our churches thrive. And in this book, I cannot recommend it enough. It is called A Church Called Tove, Forming a Goodness Culture That Resists Abuses of Power and Promotes Healing by Scott McKnight and Laura Berenger. I'll include the link for that book in the show notes. And as always, if you haven't done so already, hit subscribe and leave a rating or review wherever you get your podcast. That really helps us get the word out about this podcast to help other church planters find this great content. With that said, let's jump now into my interview with Laura Berenger. We have Laura Berenger on the Church Planters Podcast. Laura, thank you so much for jumping on and joining us with the podcast.
Yeah. You know, thank you so much for inviting me. It's really my honor and pleasure to be here with you today to hear a little bit of your story and share our experiences together. So thank you.
Yeah. So Laura, you and I talked a little bit before, but you are an author and a teacher as well. First grade teacher?
Yes. I actually am teaching kindergarten this year, so even better.
Wow. I'll say that's one thing that I would struggle with. But you're an author of a book that has been transformational for me. And before we even jump in to any questions, I want to say thank you for writing this book. This is one of these books that anytime I talk to a church planter and they ask, hey, what are you reading? What is something that is helpful? I always recommend this book because it has been just a huge encouragement to me when we think about planting healthy churches. And a lot of the books that we read about when we think about church planting, a lot of those books are all about strategy, about getting people in the door. And only a few of them talk about developing a healthy culture. And A Church Called Tove does that in just an incredible, encouraging way, but in an honest way too. And I really think it's a gift to the church. And so we try to recommend it as much as we can. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for writing this book and for joining us on the podcast. I want to jump in and talk about it and hear your thoughts on some of the things that you wrote. But before, could you share just a little bit about yourself and your family and a little bit about who Laura Berenger is?
Yeah, I always, for every one of these interviews or webinars that I've been doing, I always feel a little bit of imposter syndrome because I am a teacher. I am an educator. I've been trained as a primary grades teacher. I've spent decades working in public schools. I've worked with first graders and second graders and most recently with kindergartners. So it never ceases to amaze me that I've been sitting now, I think, on over 100 of these interview podcasts with people talking about churches and culture and toxicity and how to transform from toxic to tove. And and so here it is happening again. I have a little bit of imposter syndrome. my journey is not a likely one. This is not something that I ever planned or could have planned for myself. Like I said, I'm a teacher. I've worked in public schools for 20 years. When the Willow Creek story broke here in Chicago, that was really the beginning of my journey. And many of you may have read some of my father's books. My father, Scott McKnight, is a prolific author and theologian. And we would talk about the Willow Creek story all the time. Our family would. My mom and dad, my husband and I. And we just couldn't wrap our minds around that the church was telling one story, and then these women that we knew were telling such a completely different narrative. And I remember the moment I was sitting on my living room couch, I thought, only one of these sides could be telling the truth. And either way, it's really disturbing. If the women are lying, that's really disturbing. I don't think they are, but that would be horrible. As the church has said, they're trying to take Bill Hybels down before he retires. And even more horrifying is the fact that the church could be lying about what's happening. So that moment really was the start of my journey with this topic. And I brought my dad up because I pushed him to be the one to write. I didn't see myself as involved in the project. But one thing led to the next, and we ended up co-authoring this book together. It was born out of our experience with the Willow Creek story. We didn't want to write an expose. There's a little bit of that, but mostly what we wanted to write was hope for a better way. We wanted to offer a redemptive, hopeful story. And I've been surprised at how far reaching it has been. It has gone way beyond Willow Creek. One church after another, small, large, medium, everywhere in between, it's really resonated with people. But like I said, it was born out of hope for a better way than what we saw Willow Creek doing.
I can't say enough good things about this book. We sat down with members of our core team as we were planting and would work through chapters, and just the conversation that came out of reading those chapters and just discussing them were transformational in the life of our church. So the title is an interesting title, The Church Called Tove. Would you share a little bit of what that word Tove means and how you landed on that title?
Yeah, well, funny story about that. Our publisher, Tove is a Hebrew word, and our publisher did not want, they said, we don't use Hebrew words in titles of books. My dad kept pushing back saying, no, this will work. I promise it will work. And they said, well, we think it sounds a little bit too much like a man called Ove, if you've read that, and back and forth, back and forth about it. But we really pushed. We felt like what my dad had noticed with his seminary students was that when he used this three little word Tove, it was really catchy with them. And we found that to be true as the book has been published. So Tove is the Hebrew word for goodness. It appears more than 400 times in our Bible. And if you open to page one of Genesis, it's there 7 times alone that God saw all that he had made, and it was very Tove. So what I've come to learn through the process of writing about Tove is that God is Tove. He does Tove. Everything he created and still creates today is Tove. He designed us as human beings to walk in the way of Tove. And then Jesus is our Tove shepherd. He calls us to do Tove works. The Spirit's fruit is Tove. Our Bible is literally the book of Tove. So what I have learned is that Tove is a master moral category in our Bible. And when it summarizes a person's life, it would mean to have a flourishing and faithful moral character.
Wow.
It's a beautiful little word. Yeah.
That's amazing. And I love how you describe it in the book, talking about Tove being a culture and having a culture of Tove. And the way that you talk about culture, it's not something that we arrive to, but it's something that's cultivated. And throughout the book, you have the cycle. I can't remember how you put it, but the cycle of Tove. And it's just something that you cultivate. And you open the book, you say, culture is important. The culture in which we live teaches us to behave and how to think. We learn what is right and wrong, good and bad, by living in a culture that defines these things. Culture socializes us into what is considered proper behavior. Mm-hmm. And knowing that we're talking specifically to church planters, when it comes to creating a Tov culture, what should we be thinking about and processing through and leading our teams through that often get overlooked when new churches are started?
Well, so I have to, I have to say, it is so encouraging to me to talk to planters who are building from the ground. So many of the folks that we've talked to over the last couple of years are people who are in the church, and not that God can't do that work too, but they're in the church and it's toxic and they're trying to transform. But out of all of the conversations and talks that we've had, I think this is only the second podcast that I've done where we're talking with planters who are hoping to build Tov from the ground up. And that is, like, for me, that's beautiful and so encouraging, and just really a blessing to be here with you. Wanted to say that before I jumped in, and now I forgot your question.
Yeah. So just when we think about starting new churches, like, what are the things that we need to be thinking about in planting Tov churches that often get overlooked when you're thinking about budgets and strategy and all of those things?
So we actually are working on a follow-up book to Tov, and we created 7 habits for transformation to help build a Tov culture in the life of a church. So when you are thinking of, and again, I feel like I have imposter syndrome because I'm a teacher telling you this, but this actually is born out of years of conversations with churches and people who have prayerfully tried to do what is right and transform. So in our new book, we outline in great detail 7 habits for transformation. And I think they could be directly applicable to building and planting a church. At the very, very top of our list, one pastor after another has told us, and we have encouraged, to make character formation, not for just the individuals, but for the church as a culture, the most important mission of your church. Mm. You know, there's a lot of different ways to express that kind of character. Like, we like the word Tov as like a missional term. But whatever term it is coming up as you move forward, keep character at the top of your list.
Yeah. And you talk about that in chapter 2 a little bit, when you talk about more of the toxic character that's there, and you describe, just the early warning signs of toxic culture. Mm-hmm. And 2 of them you talk about, are narcissism and the having power through fear. Would you explain a little bit of what you mean with those 2 terms? Because we hear those a lot, and I think we have some definitions, but I'd like to hear you share a little bit about those 2 things specifically and how they relate to pastoral leadership as warning signs.
What we found, are you familiar with the work of Chuck DeGroat?
I read his book before I read yours.
Okay.
Because I was...
When Narcissism Comes to Church. That book and Tov came out at about the same time. So Chuck DeGroat says, I'm quoting him from somewhere, that all pastors, no offense, but are somewhere likely to fall on the narcissism scale. What we write about in Tov and what we've come to learn is that the opposite of narcissism is empathy. Like, a narcissistic person does not have the ability to walk in another person's shoes or feel empathy for another.
Wow.
The best way to resist a narcissistic culture where the leader is concerned, like, about their own glory is to nurture empathy in the life of the church.
Yeah. As a church planter, what are some things that we can do to keep healthy checks and balances on us to make sure that we're not creating a toxic culture.
So I go back to some of the transformation habits for churches that we've been working on in our second manuscript. I think so we talked about forming a Tov character mm-hmm. in yourself, in the leadership, in the church, in the congregation. Also, to protect from narcissism and to resist it is be willing to unflinchingly assess the culture of the church, to seek the truth and surrender to it no matter what is returned back. So for example, if you do, we're trying to create a Tov assessment to help churches discern their culture. And sometimes the hardest feedback to hear is about you, it's about yourself, right?
Sure.
So unflinchingly assessing and submitting to what the truth says, it doesn't have to be like a Tov assessment, but whatever assessment, you know, churches have asked, like, how can we assess our culture? And we do recommend, like, you know, give the staff a survey, give the congregation a survey and see what comes back and be open to what the feedback has been given to you. Also, we talk a lot about power in the book and the stories that have come back to us over the last few years. We wrote mostly about sexual abuse, but we get story after story and it's slowed down a little bit, but we were getting a couple letters a week for months and they were mostly about power abuse. Yeah. So all of us humans have power. We have power because we're made in the image of God. And what we need to be careful about doing, and I say this to myself too as a teacher, is like, how am I using my power? Am I using it to scare people? Am I using it over them? Or am I using it like Jesus did to give other people life? So, you know, not only being willing to listen to what other people have to say about you, but using your power the way that Jesus did and practicing Tov power can also help resist some of those toxic elements that creep into the culture and life of a church.
Yeah. And I'm just reminded with planting, oftentimes, being the senior leader in such a small community, but being so focused on mission and, you know, there's benchmarks that you want to reach, right? There's mm-hmm. benchmarks of attendance, there's benchmarks of giving, and it's really, really easy as a planter and as a pastor in that stage to just say, hey, this is where we're going and this is what we're doing. And church feels like a speedboat and you're making decisions and you're changing on a dime. And, you know, at some point you have to be able to make that switch and that turn to being just the one man show to having that team and really giving that power away in the way that you're talking about. That's really, really good. Let me ask you this. Many church planters that I've talked to are coming out of churches that they've experienced a negative culture, right? They've experienced this culture of toxicity. Maybe they've worked for a senior leader who was a narcissist, or they had elders or other leaders that led through fear and really motivated through fear. And so as a result, they're bringing that baggage with them into the church plant. What insight or advice would you give them in thinking through not carrying that baggage with them, but then also processing through that in a healthy way so that they're leading out of a place of health as opposed to a place of toxicity? What insight would you give that church planter?
Yeah, well, I would first say, being aware of the trauma and working on it in a healthy way with a therapist is going, like, especially if the trauma is really deep and is going to be like really important. I can't say that enough, because otherwise the new leader would be would would be reactive. Like it would be like a reactive leadership style. And you don't want to operate out of reacting to a trigger from a previous trauma that hasn't started to heal. So I guess I would say, like, you'll have to find a balance.
Yeah.
But you'll have to do the work to heal from what you've been through and guard against reactionary leadership and lead out of a way where you're not like just against the previous leader that you had a bad experience with, but you're leading out of goodness, you're leading out of Tov, that you're leading out of God and what he has called you to do and the way that his spirit is leading.
Yeah, that reminds me of another book. Have you read The Body Keeps the Score?
Yeah.
Have you? And I think about, like, as you're talking about, you know, being reactionary, it's like you're, if you're not familiar, if you're listening, you're not familiar with the book. Basically, the idea is that when you experience trauma, you feel that in your body, and your body actually traps that trauma in. And so when you're triggered with another experience, your brain goes back to the really what you were feeling when that trauma happened, right? And so it could be a completely different event, but it reminds you and it triggers you back to a trauma that you experienced, you know, sometimes years before. And it's triggering. And in our story, I was a student pastor, and we went through a traumatic experience where I had a senior leader who called me into the office, and we had this this hard conversation, and it wasn't good. It wasn't Tov. But since that time, any other time a senior leader called me into his office, I would feel that fear, and I would feel like, oh man, I'm about to get fired. I'm about, you know, and I'd go to these catastrophic thoughts because I'm constantly living in that trauma when it's unprocessed. And so you're sharing about going to therapy and working through those things. Mm. Man, I echo that if we're not processing through that trauma and we're not processing through that pain, it's always going to come back. And right. We're going to bring those things. Just because it's a new church doesn't mean that it's not going to be there going forward.
Right. I just, from my own personal experience the other day, I was triggered by something. It wasn't related to a church, but it took me, I've done a lot of therapy. It took me, you know, maybe 20, 30 minutes to realize, like, I'm really upset because I'm triggered by something that is unrelated to this current situation with this person. But all of the feelings and the, my heart rate, like my body feels what I felt, you know, years ago. Yeah. So the folks that we have talked to over the past years, I would definitely classify as trauma. Some of the churches have treated people so horrifically that they are carrying really deep wounds and they are traumatized by the church. And so when you're considering building a new church, you don't want to operate out of a trigger, right? You want to operate out of goodness and Tov. And so I guess I can't emphasize enough the importance of, like, doing the work and healing from what you've been through.
Well, the book is A Church Called Tov. Laura, thank you so much for jumping on. I feel like that we could go on and on about what you have written in this book. Just do me a favor. When you finish that second book, come back on and talk about that one as well. But we'll put a link on for Amazon to be able to go purchase the book. I would highly, highly recommend pastors to read this, core teams to read this, anybody that's putting together strategy, because it is that important, because we want to have churches that are churches that are Tov. So, Laura, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for jumping on the podcast with us.
Thanks for having me.
And that was a great interview with Laura Barringer about her book that she authored alongside Scott McKnight, A Church Called Tov, Forming a Goodness Culture That Resists Abuses of Power and Promotes Healing. And like I said before, this is a book that I believe every single church leader should read. regardless of denomination, regardless of theological convictions on secondary issues, we as the church have to do this well. We have to have cultures where people are safe and people are protected. And when we don't, the results are catastrophic and tragic. And so they lay this out there in their book on really what the problem is, but give us a great solution going forward on how we can do this well long term. So thank you, Laura, for jumping on this interview. I'll include a link to the book on Amazon in the show notes. And thank you for listening to this week's episode. We'll see you next week on the Church Planters Podcast.